Bambate Bhubipa Bhavatara. Bambate Puri Paravatara.
Bambate Puri Paravatara.
Paravatara Sya Harer Tritri. Antarita Sya Swarati Vishrishta.
Antarita Sya Swarati Vishrishta.
Ramani Nirvana Vilambitani.
Ramani Nirvana Vilambitani.
Bambate Puri Paravatara.
Bambate Puri Paravatara.
Katavatara Sya Harer Taritri.
Katavatara Sya Harer Taritri.
Antarita Sya Smarati Vishrishta.
Antarita Sya Smarati Vishrishta.
Karmani Nirvana Vilambitani.
Karmani Nirvana Vilambitani.
Yadvambate Bhuri Paravatara.
Pritavatara
Sya Harer Taritri.
Antarita
Sya Smarati Vishrishta. Yadva,
Yadva,
that may be,
that may be.
Amba,
Amba,
O Mother,
O Mother,
Te,
Te,
your,
your,
Puri,
Puri,
heavy,
heavy,
Para,
Para,
load,
load,
Avatara,
Avatara,
decreasing the load,
decreasing the load,
Krita,
Krita,
done,
done,
Avatarasya,
Avatarasya,
one who incarnated.
Hare,
of Lord Sri Krishna.
Hare
Tri,
O
Earth.
Antaritasya,
of him who is now out of sight.
Smarati,
while thinking of. Vishishta,
all that were performed.
Karmani,
activities.
Nirvana,
salvation.
Vilambitani,
that which entails.
O Mother Earth, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Hari, incarnated himself as Lord Sri Krishna, just to unload your heavy burden. All his activities here are transcendental, and they cement the path of liberation. You are now bereft of his presence. You are probably now thinking of those activities and feeling sorry in their absence. Purport. The activities of the Lord include liberation, but they are more relishable than the pleasure derived from nirvana or liberation. According to Srila Jiva Goswami and Vishwanath Chakrabarti, the word used here is nirvana nilambitani, that which minimizes the value of liberation. And that appears to be an error in editing. The original book said, because that's the same thing that the text says, nirvana nilambitani is what we get in the text. So why would Jiva Goswami or Vishwanath Chakrabarti Thakur say that the word used here is something else when it's the same? So I looked at the original Bhagavatam. It seems that the word was vidambitani. Does that make sense?
Yeah, alternate view.
Alternate view. Vidambitani, does it have an alternate meaning also?
Which defies,
minimizes the value.
Yeah.
Yeah. So this is an editing error. It should say nirvana vidambitani. Alternate reading, or what the acharyas want to make out of it, in any case. Nirvana nilambitani. To attain nirvana, liberation, one has to undergo a severe type of tapasya, austerity. But the Lord is so merciful that he incarnates to diminish the burden of the earth. Simply by remembering such activities, one can defy the pleasure derived from nirvana and reach the transcendental abode of the Lord to associate with him, eternally engaged in his blissful loving service. Om Ajaratiniram Tasya Janajana Sharataya Chakshur Militam Jena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhistam Stampitam Jena Bhutale I know the root of the dark, my young. The Dadi, Shapada, the Dhamma. Bande, Hanum, Shri Guru, Shri Jata, Padakamanam, Shri Guru, Vaishnavascha, Shri Rupam, Shadra Shatam, Shadana, Ratanatam, the Tamstam, Sitam, Sadhaitam, Sadhutam, Krishna Saitam, Krishna Chaitam Nadeham, Sri Radha Krishna Padam, Sahagana Radhika, Sri Vishakam Kamsta. Hey Krishna, Karuna Sindho, Dina Bandho Jagatpate, Gopesha Gopika Kanta, Radha Kanta Namostate. Tattatam Shanabhogam Radhesham Ramaneshwari Krishavam Nusukhe Devi Paramami Hori Priyai Vancha Kolpatagubhyascha Kripasindho Kyaivacha Pratitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namah Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shiva Shari Gaur Bhaktarinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. Yad Vamvate Guri Paravatara Vitavatarasya Tavatarasya Harer Kadikri Antarvatasya Smriti Prashishta Pramani Nirvana Nilambitam Yadva. So many conjectures have already been offered. Maybe it's this, maybe it's that, perhaps this reason, perhaps it's that reason. So now another conjecture, Yadva. Amba, O mother, the king is a cultured person, so Matravat Paradara Rishi. Chanakya Pandit says that every woman other than one's wife, one should see as mother. So he addresses the earth, mother earth, Amma. Yadva, Amba. Prabhupada said, not sister. Mother. Puri, Parava. Puri, Para. Avatara. You've had
a heavy burden of demons and rogues. Population is not such a burden, but the demonic population creates an intolerable burden. Therefore, Mother Earth approached Brahma with tears in her eyes. Please do something. Please do something. These demons are too much. They're stomping all over me with their armies and their weapons and their exploitive demonic mentality. So please do something. Brahma also thought, what can I do? So he approached Lord Vishnu along with the demigods to petition, Lord, please do something. Please do something. Well, on that account, the personality of God had appeared as Krishna to diminish the burden of the earth. Avatar here means decreasing. Decreasing. Decreasing the burden. Prajanaya sadhunam dinashaya shakti. So for that purpose, he appeared as an avatar. He descended from the spiritual world, Hare, to take away the burden of the earth. Antarhitasya. But now he's disappeared. Now he's no longer visible. He's everywhere. But now he's no longer in our vision. The Krishna is sometimes seen and sometimes not seen. Even the soul. What is that? Madhya. Second chapter. Avyakta Nidhani Eva Tatraka Paridevana. What's the beginning?
Avyakta
Nini Bhutani. Avyakta Nini Bhutani. Avyakta Vajnani Parata.
Avyakta Nidhani Eva Tatraka Paridevana. In the beginning, the soul is not seen. He's somewhere else off in another part of the universe, another lifetime, another body. Then he enters into some particular body, and then he's not yet seen. Then he's born, then he's seen. Then he leaves the body again unseen. So he has a long journey, but only for some small portion of that journey is he visible to his friends, to his family members. Then again disappears. So, although he's eternal, he's only visible for some time. So Krishna also, but although for an entirely different set of reasons, is sometimes visible and sometimes not visible. The soul is sometimes seen, sometimes not seen, because he's under the laws of the material energy. But he's shuttled from one body to the next, to the next. And Krishna, avatar, he sometimes descends. And then he winds up his pastimes and again returns to his spiritual kingdom. Prabhupada gave the example that sometimes, like when there's a Kumbh Mela, the police force expands itself. The local police extend themselves and they create a temporary camp for so many months, and they
managed the affairs of the pilgrims, and so many things that have to be managed when you're millions of people. And then when the mela is over, the police force is again absorbed into the main force. The station is dismantled, and the police are back into the main force. So Krishna sometimes deputes himself when there's some need, karma samsthapanartha. And he appears for some time, performs his activities, karman, and then disappears. So the Pariksit Maharaj conjectures that the earth must be feeling overwhelmed by the absence of Krishna. The shunyayatam jagat sarvam govinda vidyam yugayatam vineshema chakshusha prakashayata. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu expressed his feeling that one moment feels like a yuga. Yugayatam vineshema chakshusha prakashayata. And tears are flowing from my eyes, like torrents of rain. Shunyayatam vidarsam. What is that? Chakshusharapavishayatam. Shunyayatam vidarsam. The whole world seems shunya, empty. We experience this in mundane life. My girlfriend leaves me, or my someone dies, and now the whole world seems empty and meaningless. I don't know how I can go on living without Nancy. Because mundane attachment is there. Love. Oh, when that object of love leaves, then we think, what is the use of living? There's nothing left to live for. Sometimes even one commits suicide. Life is no longer worth living now that she's gone. Well, this is a... because the things themselves will not bring happiness. It's the loving relationship that brings happiness. One is living in the same house with the same things, but now without his wife, without his girlfriend, those things seem meaningless. Or they become a source of pain, and these are the things that we used to, she used to like. These are the things that she meant so much to her. And now that she's gone, what is the use of living? Even sometimes if someone, his wife dies or his someone dies, and he moves to another house, he can't go on living in that house. It's too much. Everything reminds me of my wife or my husband or my wife. Whoever it may be, sometimes a son or daughter dies. Everything reminds me of. So then they move someplace else because it's too big. So this is a dim reflection of the feeling for Krishna. Those feelings are all in relationship to some bodily connection. In relation to the body, this is my wife, this is my daughter or son, this is my husband, this is my father. But the relationship with Krishna is permanent transcendental reality. So the feeling of separation experienced in the material world is just a perverted reflection of the experience of separation. perverted reflection, because actually the experience of separation in the material world is miserable. And the experience on the spiritual platform, although apparently miserable, is another feature of ecstasy. So, antarhitasya smadati. Now that Krishna is no longer present, you're always thinking of his pastimes. That's another feature of separation. They say absence makes the heart grow fonder. In separation, the feeling becomes more intense. Feelings of love become more intense. And remembrance also becomes more intense. The same thing. His wife goes out shopping and he forgets all about her. But if she dies, he can't go on. He goes on remembering her again and again and again. So, in the absence of Krishna, the gopis were remembering Krishna's pastimes. They were imitating Krishna's pastimes. They were absorbed in Krishna's pastimes. Because they were thinking of him. Srimati Radha and the gopis. They're continuously remembering Krishna's pastimes in Krishna's absence. And that absence meant that Krishna was also present. Because on the material platform, when someone is absent, they're gone. Or when something's absent, it's gone. But on the spiritual platform, when Krishna is absent and we remember Krishna, then Krishna is also present. By that transcendental feeling, Krishna is present always. So, antaritasya smadati vishishta. Karmani nirvana vilambita. The activities of Krishna are described as nirvana vilambita, cementing liberation, but making liberation certain. Moksha nirvana. If one goes on remembering Krishna's pastimes, or even while the pastimes are going on, even Shishupal was assured of liberation because he had a part of Krishna's pastimes. Akasura, Bakasura, Uttana, Kamsa, all the demons killed by Krishna, they attained liberation. And one to speak of those who were situated in love for Krishna. They were liberated from all material existence. And those who go on remembering Krishna, the pastimes of Krishna are also not different from Krishna. So those who go on remembering, for those who go on remembering the pastimes will have the same effect. By remembering those pastimes, remembering Krishna, one is certain liberation from material existence. Sadhatana, Prabhupada is absorbed always in thinking of those things. But Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, Jiva Goswami, they say, liberation. Nirvana. What is that? Nirvana. That's negative only. Snuffing out material suffering, or in the impersonal view, snuffing out individual identity, which is supposed to be the cause of suffering, is either unimportant or terrible. If we're simply talking about freedom from material existence, that's not very important, because one gets more than that by Krishna consciousness, by devotion. One gets more than that. And liberation is the automatic byproduct. Or if one thinks that liberation entails merging into the existence of God, then
Kaivalyam Narkai.
It's hellish, it's terrible. We don't want to know anything about it. And therefore, the pastimes of Krishna or the personal activities of Krishna ridicule that nirvana. So nirvana vidambhivana, those pastimes make liberation seem foolish, ridiculous, or horrible. So, nirvana te puri pravata. Kṛtāvatāra śya harer kuruti antārhitasya smadati viśrśya karmāni nirvāna pramāti.
Maybe we'll stop here and see what questions there. Questions? Or maybe there aren't any. Or maybe there are some comments.
There's a microphone coming your way. But it won't do anything unless it is coming.
We have a relationship together.
Like you have one?
We have relationships between each other, like husband, wife, brother, sister, other relationship. Father, mother. So many of us, we have a relationship with Krishna also, the same relationship. Which is spiritual? What is the difference between spiritual and
spiritual? We have a relationship in the material world between husband and wife and so on, and one can have the same relationships with Krishna. So now the microphone's working, you can say the rest of what the question was, because I didn't hear it.
What is the difference between those relationships?
What's the two difference between the relationship between husband and wife in the material world or other such relationships and those in the spiritual world? The ones in the material world are established on the basis of Maya, illusion. And the relationships in the spiritual world are the reality. Illusion means I'm thinking I'm this body, which I'm not. That's an illusion. And I'm thinking you're that body, which you're not. That's an illusion. And our relationship is on the basis of these two illusions. What you think you are and what I think I am, or what you think I am and what I think you are, all illusory. Husband and wife, why did they get married? The man was attractive, the woman was attractive, on the basis of this body. The body is illusion. A temporary and miserable covering of the self. Then they get married and they think, yes, we have an eternal bond. Even sometimes they imagine that they'll be together for life after life, that they're soulmates and that their souls will go on united, that they will go to heaven and live together eternally. And imagine that there's an eternal connection, although the connection is only on the basis of the body temporarily constructed of the elements of material nature. When she leaves her body, she goes to another one. When he leaves his, he goes to another one. And they're imagining some sort of eternal connection. In her next life, she's a monkey. What kind of connection does he want to have with her? In his next life, he's a dog. What kind of connection does she want to have with him? In his next life, this. But they're imagining that they're connected, or even that they want to be connected. In the next life, he'll be the sort of person or the sort of creature she wouldn't want to have anything to do with. Or the same can be said of her. But right now, they're imagining that they want to be together always. And if she becomes a pig, will he want to keep her in the house? If he becomes a mosquito, she'll probably swine. But we imagine that there's some permanent relationship on the basis of this body. In terms of sense gratification, we imagine these things. And Maya obliges, yes, your friend and friend, your husband and wife, your lover and beloved, and makes it seem substantial. Even in the material world, so often it's not substantial. I'm your friend, but then I steal your money. Or I'm your friend and I steal your wife. Or I'm your wife and I cheat on you. Or I'm your husband and I cheat on you. So often even the relationship that appears to be there is not actually what it is. Or it's based on cheating. I say I want to be your friend, but really it is I want to get something out of you. I love you so much, but really it is that I want sense gratification. And when you're no longer a suitable object of sense gratification, I shall beat you. And the love can go to hell. When your pocket is no longer full, then get lost. So even what we say the relationship is something else. But in any case, even if we're sincere and we really love one another, and there's really a tight bond between the lover and beloved, or parent and child, it will be finished. Because it's on the basis of this body which will be finished. Looks like you need to make some space in that drawer in that sitting. But the relationship with Krishna is permanent. The relationship is established on the spiritual platform in terms of the spiritual body. And it's genuine in the sense that the living entity is eternally part and parcel of Krishna. And he's eternally the servant of Krishna. So the relationship is constitutional, whereas the material world is just assumed or put on. There, on the spiritual platform, it's real. It's the eternal loving relationship between the Supreme Lord and his integral part, the living being. So that's reality. One is reality, the other is illusion. One is eternally blissful, the other is actually a source of some of the miseries. Miseries in the material world are cheap. It's material world are genuine miseries. The miseries in the spiritual world are only superficial misery. Yes, behind you.
Extended question of that. When we have a relationship within devotional service, apparently mundane like mother, father, or any other relations, because Krishna is there at the center, will that be considered still temporary or it can be permanent?
The bodily relationship is temporary. Although someone is my mother or father and is a devotee, still the relationship will be broken as mother and father and so on. The mother will die, or the father will die, or the son will die. And we all go in different directions. So it's not a permanent relationship as mother and father and brothers and sisters and so on. It's temporarily established. But the eternal feature is Krishna. So through Krishna there's a relationship. Even between husband and wife, the relationship has meaning. Because Krishna is involved. Otherwise, it's simply Maya. But when it's a relationship of service to Krishna, then it has meaning. But the meaning is not that we're eternally husband and wife, or that we're eternally parent and child. The meaning is that we're all eternal servants of Krishna. And so we have a relationship that way. I'm related to Krishna, you're related to Krishna. some connection there through Krishna.
So does that apply as well to, as we say, Jamdi Prabhu say, the spiritual rest of the city, for that for
No, it's not on the bodily platform. It's through instruction. Even parents, there may be some eternal connection that way. I received some instruction from my parents in Krishna consciousness. That has eternal value. So you can say I'm eternally indebted. Not because it's my mother or my father. It could have been my grocer or anyone who gives me instruction in Krishna consciousness, the value of Krishna consciousness. There's some relationship, but it's independent of the bodily relationship. It's not because you're my father or you're my mother. Or the spiritual master also. It's because of the transmission of transcendental sound, not because of some material connection.
You said that on the spiritual platform, there is an aspect of ecstasy also within those, within separation. So, but if you look at the gopis, Krishna was not present, they seem to be suffering a lot.
Seem to be. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is relishing these things. It seems like the gopis are suffering, but Chaitanya Mahaprabhu comes to experience their mood. Is he a glutton for punishment? He comes to the material world just to be miserable? He's the supreme enjoyer. Why should he come to the material world to be miserable? So actually, it's the highest stage of pleasure. But it superficially seems like suffering. But it's so ecstatic, it's so enjoyable, you can say, that even the personality of Godhead himself wants to taste that experience, or the great devotees want to taste that experience. That means it's not what it seems to be. Superficially it seems to be suffering. Even just to give a little idea, we go to see a horror movie or a tragedy. Why? Because actually there's some enjoyment in the shock or in the suffering. We pay money. Does it mean that we're all masochists, that we're paying money to suffer? There's some enjoyment there. There's some enjoyment in the tragedy, and one tastes some, relishes some taste in that suffering. Or when Godzilla steps on New York City, and you know, whatever else he does, shocking horror movie, creating fear in everyone. But we pay money to see that, because there's some relishable taste. So it's a crude example. But there's some relishable taste also in these apparently sad feelings of separation from Krishna.
So this separation is the highest form of ecstasy. And those devotees who experience this, do they experience a higher taste when they actually again meet Krishna? Or
will they experience a higher taste when they actually meet Krishna? No. They experience a higher, it's always higher. But Sanatana Goswami makes this point that that you might think that the separation increases the happiness of meeting. And that's why separation is so appreciated. And of course it's true that separation increases the happiness of meeting. But Sanatana Goswami says that the separation itself is actually the highest happiness.
that the feelings of separation are actually more intense than the feelings experienced during the evening.
It's okay to feel that this feeling of separation is good, and it's okay to think that you don't want to be a Krishna.
A little, yes.
So in that state, is it okay to think that I don't want to be Krishna, that this feelings of separation?
Is it okay to think that it's unnatural? These are not sadhana. These experiences are not the experiences of that one gets by practice, by thinking, now I want this, now I'm going to do this, I'll practice this, so I'll get that, I'll practice this, so I'll get that. These things happen, you can say, beyond one's control, or they happen on the platform of spontaneous love. Just like in loving dealings, there's spontaneous anger. How can you treat me this way? It's not simply, of course, it can be staged sometimes, but when it's genuine, there's that genuine feeling. It spontaneously arises. How could you treat me this way? Or there's spontaneous gratitude or spontaneous happiness. It's not calculated. That, well, actually, when you think about it, if we experience this, it's going to be like this, and we could experience that, but I think we'll experience this. Tonight we're going to experience this, that. It all spontaneously happens. So the feeling of separation is not something the devotee tries for, but it's something that automatically takes place in the heart by Krishna's arrangement. By the nature of loving feelings. It's just like the Vrajvasis are experiencing intense transcendental ecstasy when Krishna appears to be in the grip of Kali. They're feeling all sorts of transcendental emotions because it seems that Krishna is going to die. But they never pray to Krishna or the demigods, please let Krishna be captured by the coils of Kaliya so that we can experience some neat transcendental emotions. We've never experienced this before. So let Krishna be in the captured by Kaliya so that we can have a new experience. They never think like that. But Krishna arranges things in such a way that they'll have these experiences. Narad Muni wasn't thinking, let Krishna disappear from my vision so that my eagerness to see him will increase. He wanted to see him, period. But Krishna arranged, no, now I'm going to remove myself from your sight and you're not going to see him, just to increase your eagerness. But these things are arranged by Krishna. Yes. What's that?
Just noticing here that this is like one of the last possibilities. He's mentioned he's asking so many questions. Is there fear because of this or because of that? And then at the end, he asks, he gets caught by her remembering Krishna's pastimes. So this reminds me of the. When Arjuna is going back to the Dwarka, Yudhishthira Maharaj asks him, again, so many superficial reasons, is it because of this or because of that? And then right at the end, is there some ridiculous style where they always say to him, which the contest is right at the end of it?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's sort of a process of elimination, you know. You say, well, you know, did you hurt your foot or got stomach ache or something, or we know that it's got to be more than that. So we may not jump right to the thing, but we say, well, maybe it's this, maybe it's that. From one point of view, all those other things are due to this. All the other problems that Richard Maharaj has enumerated are all because of Krishna's absence. If Krishna were still present, the
demons wouldn't be doing all the things that are talked about. There wouldn't be, people wouldn't be living like dogs and monkeys, women wouldn't be exploited by unscrupulous men. All the things being talked about wouldn't be happening if Krishna were still present. So, this last item is the culmination in many ways of these thoughts.
There was another question.
Right back in center.
This is a little outside today's class, especially.
You have to hold it a little close.
This question is a little, the general question outside the class. I met some devotees from the other sampradayas. So they told that other sampradaya acharyas, like Ramanuja, Madhva, they have been predicted and known as whose information they are. Even within Gaudiya Sampradaya also, we have all the acharyas. So they asked, who is Prabhupada in your Sampradaya? So we maximum could answer that he is an excellent associate of Krishna for the spiritual world. But is there any reason that Prabhupada's specific identity is not given as?
It's not required. That would be Prabhupada's answer. It is not required. Prabhupada would say that's something that it was his way of saying, none of your business. It is not required. The acharya doesn't have to be known in terms of who he is in the spiritual world and so many things. He's the acharya, that's all. Even Ramanujacharya, we don't have to know who his incarnation is. We just have to read his books and see what he's speaking
about Krishna consciousness. That's the essential.
Does it mean that we suppose I don't know who Ramanujacharya is, so now I'm not going to read his philosophy anymore? Or if I didn't know whose incarnation he was, then the philosophy wouldn't mean anything? Responsibility.
So how far should one?
How far should one walk?
In taking this instruction, right? If one is proceeding now, in that relationship, if there is a mutual understanding, so it's okay. If one is not able to understand each other later, then how far?
Understanding each other is secondary. Delivering one from birth and death, that's the point. Just understanding one another. Men and women will never understand one another. No one will ever understand anyone. Krishna understands. He's in the heart of every living being. He understands everyone. What will he understand? I'm thinking that you're thinking, but you're thinking something else. No one really knows what you're thinking but you and Krishna. I have some idea what you're thinking, but I don't really know. I only know a fraction. Well, that's not, again, required. We don't have to be mind readers. We don't have to know everything about everybody. We just have to be able to present the science of Krishna, the A Krishna Tattva Vaitishya Guru.
If one finds oneself not qualified,
don't get married. You know, what would you do if you were made a police officer and you thought you weren't qualified? You know, start making up for your lack of qualifications. And you go to shooting school, shooting target practice, and learn whatever you have to learn, because now you're a police officer and you have to do it. Whatever it is, if you're put in a position and you find you're not qualified, you say, well, I better become qualified.
In the song, Fine Arts on the Sattva, Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu, his devotee, and he would smash his head against the rock in separation from his friend. So, and also in our Vaishnava tradition, we see that the Vaishnavas are developing loving relationship with each other. So, I'm understanding that we should also try to follow in the footsteps. So, as a Kanishka Adhikari or a Madhyama Adhikari, what is the reason or why should we invest energy in developing relationship with other devotees if they're not eternal anyway?
That's how a Kanishka Adhikari thinks. Thinks Krishna is important. These other people, what do they matter? So forget these other people, I'm just going to develop my relationship with Krishna. That's what makes him a Kanishka Adhikari. He doesn't consider that Krishna has a relationship with all these other people. And if I serve them, Krishna will be more pleased. Krishna says, the person who serves my servant, he is actually my servant, not the person who's serving me. Person who neglects my devotee is like the person doing a yoga by pouring the ghee into the ashes. So Krishna doesn't mean Krishna alone. That's a neophyte, that's practically an impersonal conception of Krishna. Krishna is limited to, like make a paper cutout of Krishna's Tribhanga Rupa, and that's Krishna. And everything outside the cutout, that's not Krishna. And Krishna is not limited that way. Krishna is with the Radharani, Krishna is with the Gopis, Krishna is with the Nanda Yashoda. Krishna means Krishna with his devotees. There's no such thing as Krishna alone. Krishna alone is impersonal. Therefore, Prabhupada, any painting, he wouldn't accept as Krishna alone. Somebody has to be there. At least a cow, somebody has to be there because Krishna alone. Just sometimes you see these paintings, Krishna's in the clouds or something, rejected. There's just a big om and Krishna's in the clouds. Probably rejected because it's impersonal. There's no relation. Krishna doesn't mean just Krishna. Krishna means who Krishna still is. So the neophyte, that's what makes him a neophyte. He only sees himself in Krishna. And he doesn't appreciate that Krishna is connected with all of these devotees. The more advanced devotees. I want an eternal relationship with Krishna, but I don't want anything to do with the devotees. Krishna looks at them and says, what's wrong with this guy? But he knows what's wrong with this guy. Separatist. It's someone else wanted that microphone. Okay. And when do we stop, by the way? No, okay. Oh, should we stop or should we allow this last question? We shall allow this last question.
Rupa says that Krishna conscious person has a relationship with others, other living entities, and he has got some feelings because of his relationships. And he does not neglect his relationships. These relationships are material.
I don't think I got it, what you said that Prabhupada said.
He said that Krishna conscious person has got affection and feelings for his relatives.
Yes, a Krishna conscious person has some feeling for his relatives. Yeah,
have this body, we have some feeling. Because I have this body, if you pinch me, I'll feel it. And then I'll remember that I've got this body, so what if you pinch me? But because I have this body, I'll feel it. So because I have this relative, I'll feel this is my relative. But because I know the philosophy, I'll say, actually, it's not my relative, but it feels like my relative. Krishna conscious person has feeling for everyone, but not on the basis of the body. So Krishna conscious very the person is very happy because family members become Krishna conscious. If his family members don't become Krishna conscious, then there's the whole rest of the world. I don't have to just spend my life on this family, you know. Oh, if only I could get my brother to be Krishna conscious, only if I could get this person, that person. There's all the rest of the world to become Krishna conscious. Okay, thank you all very much. All the rest of you.
Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu.